Blog Talk Radio.
God be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And today, we are going to first bring to your attention that Sister Amina Rasool, the MGT GCC captain, has returned to her creator. Now, when we say return to our creator, we don't mean that we are part of the creator. We're not. We're from the creator. And what he made is our essence, and our essence is our purpose. And so we want to return in our memory her purpose. And she taught many women how to be a woman at home and abroad. We also want to bring to your attention that the Ramadan sessions will be held in Chicago, Illinois, Hazelcrest, Illinois, that is, on the 18th, 19th, and 20th of July at 929 East 171st Street in Hazelcrest. And it will have people who have followed and students of Imam Muhammad, including your brother and friend, Imam Alfred Muhammad, among others, that will address the people from Imam Muhammad. Hopefully none of us will address it from us, because God hasn't blessed us with anything other than to be a follower of Imam Muhammad. So I'm going to take leave of you, and we're going to have an interview with Brother Lance Shabazz, and pray, Almighty God, that you be blessed by this broadcast. Also pray, Almighty God, that you will learn something from it, and also Robert Dr. Mubarak. Thank you. God, peace be on you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We are blessed by the creator of the heavens and the earth to have once again another edition of Religion Means Alive. Happy Savior's Day to you. It is now 83 years since the start of the Lost Foundation of Islam and the appearance of W.F. Muhammad in the wilderness of North America. And we are honored to have an outstanding historical figure and historian in the person of the great Lance Shabazz. Happy Savior's Day, and welcome to Religion Means Alive, Brother Lance Shabazz.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you, Brother Imam. I certainly appreciate it, and I pray Allah that we can have a spirited program this afternoon. Happy Savior's Day to the audience. As you know, as Brother just mentioned, 83 years, we are very grateful and thankful. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our spiritual leader, teacher, and guide, taught us of this mighty one who on this day we celebrate the birth of this mighty one named W.D. Farad. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I believe around 1949, said, I believe I'm going to call him Master, and he became Master Farad Muhammad. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Well, brother, I'm just honored. You know, you're doing, not have, but is doing some fine work and bringing to the public's attention the great work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the resurrection of the dead. Contrary to popular belief, some have abandoned their posts and believe that others should be allowed to create a nuisance on or around that post. I know you don't believe that, neither do I, and most of our listening audience. General orders are still in effect. And I want you to open with an opening statement, speaking freely and openly as possible with our audience on this great Savior's Day.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. As you said, some call me a historian. I just call myself a brother who just loved the history. I grew up as a Muslim student, follower of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and it just works for me. I believe the teachings 1,000% what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us. I believe in doing for self. I believe everything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had taught us. As up to 1975, that is. Up until 1975, there was a change of the guards, as they would say, and the nation took a different direction. I was a young man then, and I began to question things after 1975 because as a family, when a family starts to break up, you want to know what caused it. And in 1975, after the departure of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it seems like we just broke off. And I wanted to know what was the problem, and it affected me mentally. And my calling, I believe, was to just go back and analyze this. Just let's look at what happened and why did it happen. Why would the Honorable Elijah Muhammad go for 44 years with a concrete program, a program of redemption, a program of self-sufficiency? Why would he go through all of that to have it broken up and others start claiming pieces and taking the nation in another direction? So I sought answers, and that's really where I went, by just questioning individuals, if that's clear, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir, it is very clear, Brother Lance, and we were told to ask questions and find out ourselves, and we were told that we would be brothers. You know, all these big eyes and little U's, and that's what began, to me, the end of the destruction of the Nation of Islam, which started in the late 50s, in my opinion, by the early 60s. We lost the spirit of brotherhood. More money came in, the more and more the brotherhood disappeared. I remember brothers getting in trouble in Newark, and we would get on, you know, brothers would come all the way from the Bronx and Westchester. God forbid if a brother were hurt. God even forbid even more if the brother were killed. Would roll. I just don't understand how we changed. But I do know this. We were taught about the 85, the 10, and the 5.
Right.
And we had people walked around, looked like us, act like us, pretended to be us, but essentially were bloodsuckers of the poor. And then there are others like us, like you, yourself, and others, who are still poor. Well, I hope you're not poor, but we are certainly righteous teachers that are trying to get out of poverty. But many of us have been driven hungry, poor, broken, and out of doors as a result of very bad leadership. So I'm not going to emphasize that this is a joyous occasion. It's Savior's Day. For me, it has a double meaning because we may agree or disagree. I think February 26, 1975 was a great day. The Quran was taught openly in America. But we could probably differ, and that's what I'd like. See, I don't want people to lockstep agree with everything I say. I don't want to be around people that I'm going to agree with everything they say. But firstly, we must be brothers. And that's what I admired and love about you, Brother Lance. You told it like you see it. You know, you didn't pretend. You have not pretended. So I'm just going to shut up and let you talk. You're my guest. I'm not going to be a pig. We were taught not to eat the pig, neither to touch the pig. So if a leader or a speaker get on the air and take up the time of the guest, then that's becoming a pig. And I don't want to be a pig in any sense of the word. I want to sit back and have a great meal served by the great Lance Jabbar on our great day of celebration, Savior's Day 2013. Brother Lance, the audience of Religion Means Alive is yours.
Thank you again, Brother Imam. I want to say on the onset that this morning I went to a closing, and I'm very thankful to Allah that I was able to sell a resident property that I had out in Brentonwood, and that was becoming such a pain for me, but I'm so free of that now, and I'm just grateful and thankful for that. That was a great Savior's Day this morning gift for me. So, but I want to go on and tell you, brother, that the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Islam, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as I said from the outset, it fit me like a glove. I loved the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. As I came up as a young boy, I loved everything about it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had, the captains, the secretaries, the ministers. He had many officials, and the officials had a Ten Commandment. They were supposed to speak to people with tact. They were supposed to smile at people, call people by name, be friendly and helpful, be cordial and have patience. Be genuinely interested in people. Be generous with praise. Be considerate with feelings of others and be thoughtful of the opinions of others, but also be alert and give service. That's one of the Ten Commandments of an officer. We saw after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the latter years, I would say, of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that we got away from that, as you had alluded to. We had started to make a few dollars, and money always seems to bring in corruption. And the goal that we started out on, it seemed that we started to have big shots. And one of the things that W.D. Muhammad did when he came in, he wanted to bust up the big shots. I remember being in a meeting where he talked about his Uncle John and a coat or a ring that he had. And he began to speak about other members that he said he saw a Superfly type image. And I witnessed that as well. But, you know, I didn't mind them having that image as long as they were feeding the flock. As long as we were being fed, I didn't care how the head of the shepherd, however he was living, it didn't faze me one iota. But when I began to see that the rank and file of believers was hungry, naked, and out of doors, and only word we seem to know is sacrifice, 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 while others seem to, you know, live well, I didn't think that was proper. So, again, after 1975, I started analyzing things, and I went back and I started questioning everybody who would answer questions, and I'm talking from the great Captain Yusuf Shah, who we knew as Brother Joseph X. Gravett. I went back questioning everybody to try to get an understanding of this. And again, I won't say that I got all the answers, but I got quite a few answers. There's a lot that happened in the Nation of Islam. See, the Nation of Islam was a clearinghouse. The Nation of Islam was able to take someone who had fell on drugs, someone who had whatever the way of life for the brothers as well as the sisters. If the sisters was, you know, doing whatever they were doing that was unladylike, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put them through a process where they were able to change. And that teachings was really just being around righteous. When you're around like minds, you start to act that way. And so when we were around righteous brothers who, you know, who was probably hoods or criminals, but now after accepting the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, now you had grown men who as hard as they could be, now saying, we beseech thy help, we ask thy mercy, we thank Almighty God, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, all praises due to Allah, you know, the sole master of this day of judgment, or surely I turn myself to thee, O Allah, trying to be upright to he who originated the heavens and the earth. We had hardcore criminals who are now prostrating, who are saying their prayers, and who was trying to live a righteous life. We were taught not to use profanity in public. We were taught so many things that was a good measure. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said how to get a job and keep a job, not just get a job, but keep a job. These were good things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad imparted on the believers. And I believe that criminals came into the Nation of Islam, and as you mentioned, the 85%ers, you mentioned the 10%, and you mentioned the 5%. And they were able to blood suck. They were able to work with the ignorant masses. They were able to do that, and it's sad. It's sad. What troubled me in 1975 was that we were always taught our general orders. We were told to be especially watchful at night, but we allowed everybody to come in there. We were always questioning the believers, but the FBI was inside the ranks and file. We were infiltrated from the beginning. And yet we were always told to watch out for someone. I could still remember Captain Shaw going up and down the aisle looking for someone. And they said they're always looking for that smart one, you know. But, you know, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, again, I say it's right and exact. I love the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I celebrate the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But, again, I feel that we need to fix a lot of things. We don't need Scientology. We don't need any of that. We need to just stand on the principle.
Brother Lance, I just got to stop you. Some people have told me, I mean, I'm talking to people who are FOI now, has told me that Scientology has superseded Message to the Black Man, How Deed to Live, Book 1 and 2, The Fall of America and Our Savior's Arrived. Do you agree with that position?
Emphatically, no. Of course not. How could it supersede the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? We don't need Scientology. All we need to be based on is truth. Certainly some of us have had some mental problems. When you follow the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and you've had crooked deceivers in front of you, we all got messed up. We don't have to go through no process through no Scientology to get right. All we have to do is tell the truth. Tell the truth, as they say, it's shame the devil. We have to just tell the truth. We don't need Scientology. We have to just be honest with ourselves. Why with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that was so effective? We saw how the supreme captain that was under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Raymond Sharif, how he passed, and he was in a massive depression. We saw the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Nathaniel Muhammad, pick up and marry a Caucasian. We saw a lot of people who accepted the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
About Minister Nathaniel Muhammad, that is the grandfather of the head of the Schoenberg brother,
that's
Dr.
Correct.
Khalil G. Muhammad?
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Speaking of the one and the same, he uses another name, Masala, I believe.
Masala,
yeah.
But he
yes.
had some other criminal charges against him as well, didn't he?
Yes, he did. If you recall, right in 1975, I interviewed him. I believe it was show 159. I'm not certain of the show. But I interviewed him, and he said it was a setup by one of the officials in Kansas City where they said he was had some marked money with some drugs, you know. But the teachers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was right. However, there were some criminal elements in it. See, one of the things the Muslims jumped on me about, they thought I became a Malcolmite. I never would be a Malcolmite, but Malcolm did say that the Nation of Islam had criminal elements, and that was true. A lot of what he said was true. It's just that it seemed like they didn't want nothing to get in between their money, so they seemed to gather up and go against Malcolm. I say Malcolm, yes, he did have some hypocritical things that he did, but he also spoke the truth, and we should celebrate the truth that he said as well as condemn him for some of the things that he did. That's my stance with Malcolm X. But the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is 1,000% correct. Again, I don't understand a lot of things that occurred in 1975. They said the manifestation of defects, you know, that all of this would be manifest. And again, we are walking today broken off. We never thought we would always hear about the sects in Islam, but we never thought it would affect the Nation of Islam. We thought that was the broader world of Islam. But we seem to join in with the rest of the world as their Savior's Day programs probably going on all over the world today. Different camps have a Savior's Day. So again, brothers, I believe the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is right and exact. I believe that his program is right and exact. We may have to tweak certain things to bring it up to modern time, but the basis, the principle of it is 1,000% correct. That's my feeling on it. I don't know if you have callers calling, but I'm ready for any calls that come in.
There's a sister raised the question, how do you think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would manage the issues today of our children killing each other? In some cities, we got children named Raheem, Shabazz, Tariq, last name, our own children, killing each other over a bag of drugs that they're going to sell to our people. What is your comment? What would you say to those people? What would you think Donald Elijah Muhammad would say to those people?
Well, first of all, if it was a preponderance of it in different cities, he would fire the head of it, because we are supposed to be the caretakers of our babies. We should save the children at any cost. And if we're doing something that's contrary to a program that would save the children, then we're not doing our jobs. Remember, sometimes we think there's no money in the children, so we leave them alone. I grew up a child in the Nation of Islam, and they always was putting us out for holdback meetings, for business meetings, and we would run up along 105th Street and just basically waiting for the holdback meeting to end. But no, we got to have a program for the children. Give them something to hope for. Minister Farrakhan, if I may use him, has been teaching the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for 58 years. But in Chicago, it's still one of the highest crimes in the city of Chicago. All of that talk, there's not a concrete program to correct a lot of that. We need a black army, but we need a black army that's not going to take no nonsense.
And not a black army that would just beat us up and rather, you know, and Brother Lance, you were talking about something so right. I remember 1970s, in the mid-70s, brothers had made it, taken it upon themselves on the fish floor to stop a certain drug dealer that's now legendary from selling drugs between 113th and 115th Street. And they went to Minister Farrakhan. This drug dealer went to Minister Farrakhan
And Mr. Farrakhan pulled the brothers off of that path. They told this criminal, you're not going to sell drugs between 113th and 115th Street. And he cried like a baby. Now, he's on TV as one of the American gangsters. But I remember the brothers, one of the lieutenants has passed on to his just reward, telling him,
right.
Negro, you are not going to sell drugs here. If you do, that's the end of you. And he took his wares and got off that awesome corners between 111th and 114th Street. So I know we have the ability to clean these neighborhoods up. And you are 100% right. Chicago is a killing field. I mean, 18,000 African-American, black people, so-called Negroes, have been killed in Chicago. I mean, been shot in Chicago, and 500 have been murdered. I just can't understand that. You say, well, a man's been teaching for 58 years, that he has not been able to ameliorate that. And he's known in every household in America, has every star's telephone number, and perhaps even donations from them. And I'm not disrespecting the members of the Lost Foundation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan. I salute them with the original salute.
Yes, sir.
And I give them great props. But I just have to raise that question, Brother Lance, on this great day of Savior's Day. Because I think
I'm not throwing stones in this direction, but as we mentioned about Scientology, we have to just tell the truth. And as I said, if we tell the truth, I think truth is the best weapon, and we just have to tell the truth. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, make all men and boys join the FOI. But the FOI has to have a head who's not a police officer. He has to have a head who has his business tied in to the Nation of Islam and have the best interests of the Nation of Islam at heart. I think if you have that, you can raise these young men. But they come in and they see the Nation of Islam. They don't have respect for it because they just see them dressed up in some nice suits, and they just follow around wherever the minister go, whatever part of the country, they just follow him around. But you got crime right there in your own community, in the Robert Taylor homes, right there in the same community, right there in Chicago, you got crime, but you just following the minister around. That's not a solution. That's not a solution. We have to have a concrete program for our children. Again, give them something to grow that they're proud of. I was proud to be a young Muslim in the Nation of Islam. I just knew that the Nation of Islam, when I got older, we was going to have it going on. We had the fish program. We had the daily juices. We just had the baked Shabazz bakeries, the Shabazz Arabian fried chicken. I mean, we just had the restaurants. We just had business after business, and we had a import-export business. So we had something to grow on, and we were feeling good about ourselves because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that. He taught us as a young boy or a young child that this is our nation. We preserve and protect our nation, and we wanted it to be founded in peace. We didn't carry as much as a penknife. We searched everybody who came into the temple or came into the mosque, and that was teaching us discipline. We said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. We bowed to one another, and it was a wonderful experience. And as I said, as long as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was among us and was viable, we were able to do that. And it's just sad that, again, others came in. And to go back on Minister Farrakhan came into New York, as you know, following Minister James from Newark or after Malcolm X's assassination, and he was doing well. But his popularity came after April of 72, after the police came in and attacked the mosque, and we had the rally there at the 369th Army. That's when Farrakhan really began to take off. And then the following year at Randall's Island, September of 73, we had the Islam, the Survival of the Black Nation. And then the following year in May, we had the Black Family Day. And then they said 70,000 reported people came to that Downing Stadium. Beautiful. And the nation seemed to be taking off. He did Black Family Days in Baltimore. He traveled all across this country. But then again, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was very ill. And we let an enemy come in and basically tear up the Nation of Islam without us holding the line. You know, but Mr. Farrakhan's gift is that he did those three plays, Chains, Organa, and The Trial. He's able to put on great productions, but we don't need productions. We need some progress. That's my opinion. Again, I'm opening up for calls whenever someone's going to call.
Yes, sir. Brother Lance,
I agree with you. He is the master of pageantry and production, and is great theatrical figure. Now, I want to ask you, you grew up in the Nation of Islam. Your both mother and father both were members of the Nation of Islam?
My father was a registered Muslim. My mother was not registered. My grandmother was registered. My aunt was registered, and two of my uncles were registered.
Did you grow up in number 7A, or which of the boroughs were you?
I was born in, came in 7B. I grew up
okay.
in 7B.
Okay, out in Corona. Now, let me ask you this. Did you go to the University of Islam?
Excuse me?
Did you attend the University of Islam?
No, sir. I didn't attend it. The University of Islam really didn't get started till the 70s. There was problems where they were having classes once a week or so, and my mother was in disagreement with my father about sending us then. So I enrolled in the public school.
Okay.
Now,
all right. So you came before the university was opening up in 19. I believe the university was opened in 1971. When did we move into
around
16th Street?
Right, 1970, 71, around that time.
Yes, sir.
But,
yes, sir. Yeah, you're sorry.
Ahead,
yeah, you can join the conversation, dear people, at 805-727-7013. And talk directly with Brother Lance Shabazz. Brother Lance Shabazz has been a legendary figure. I didn't even know he existed except as an imagination until a sister was so nice enough to connect me. I mean, I probably have met you in person and heard so many great things about you, and you all have had a presence as an archivist. I think you probably have every tape of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from the 50s to the 70s, and, you know, you're a great historian. So I was honored that you would come on our program, especially Savior's Day. So, dear people, you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013 and speak directly with Brother Lance Shabazz.
Brother, let me say this. That Sister Emil, we knew her, Shirley Baker, she, you know, she had asked me to do the program, and I had given her my word that I would do it. So I have to give a shout-out to her and thank her as well.
Yes. We definitely have to give a shout-out to the sister. Yes, she was responsible, and she's doing more work than most of us are doing in terms of connecting people. And we thank Almighty God Allah so much for her presence and the wonderful work that she's doing. Yes, sir. Thank you, and I'm glad that I would that you brought that to the audience attention, because I would be remiss if we were to not bring that fact to the public's attention.
Let me say this also, Brother Imam. My uncle was Henry Adex, and it was my uncle along with another brother named Robert, for those who want to study history, when the house that Malcolm X was living in, 2311 97th Street, was had that fire. It was my uncle who rebuilt that home for the Minister Farrakhan, and he was there for many months with Minister Farrakhan after he moved in, fixing up the house for him. So for those historians who want to check the history.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The great brother Henry Adex. Yes, sir. You know, I'm hoping, Brother Lance, that we can have the interview of the Shah family. I mean, all you all who've been in. I think we still have some recordings of Captain Shah. I don't know whether you have any recordings of Lieutenant Clarence, later on known as Hussein Shabazz, James W. Just talk a little bit about some of the pioneers. Lieutenant Edward,
tell
us a little bit more about some of the great figures.
I was a teenager growing up with most of them. You talk about Captain Yusuf Shah. And we love Brother Captain Shah. You know, I remember him doing his judo. I remember him always patrolling, always moving fast. Loved Brother Captain Yusuf Shah. And as I said, in his latter years, he went to work for the Amsterdam News. He would spend time up in Mount Vernon with, we had a captain under Minister Farrakhan who would be his former son-in-law, Brother Alfred, Alpha rather, and Brother Captain Shah would spend time with him. But a great captain, Brother Captain Yusuf Shah. He went to work for Don King And Don King, if you remember, was at Savior's Day 1975 because Muhammad Ali was the champ and Don King stayed close to whoever was the champ. But yeah, Captain, you...
A good observation. That's right.
Captain Shaw, a tremendous brother, a great brother. We know the history of his uncle, Brother William Gravidell, and others who was with the Morris Science Temple and Noble Drew Ali. But a great brother, a tremendous brother. And I've got some private stories of Brother Capshaw that I don't want to share on the air, but a tremendous brother, Lieutenant
Well, you
Clarence.
Shared with us about Lieutenant Clarence, 7X, later known as Hussein Shabazz. Talk to us about your recollection of him.
Yeah, my father and my uncle and them used to say that he always, when he did the demonstrations with the martial art, he would always try to hurt somebody, you know, but... He was a great lieutenant as well, a great brother. As you know, he was the lieutenant, went to San Francisco, I believe?
San Francisco, yes, sir.
Right, and then later he went on to Newark, New Jersey. But a tremendous helper of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and a defender of truth. Lieutenant Clarence was related to another lieutenant, Richard Adex.
I was just going to ask you about the drill master, Richard Adex. And
That's
then
right.
After you go, tell us about the other Lieutenant Clarence that used to be out in Corona.
Right. Well, we had, I remember Lieutenant Norton. We remember,
yes.
I don't know if you recall Lieutenant Norton. Lieutenant.
Oh, of course,
Edwards.
He used to work at the health food store. Yes, sir.
That's right. Another brother who was quick with his hands, and Brother Lieutenant Norton, a tremendous brother. He's working out here in Queens, I believe, now at a automotive, selling automobiles now. And he uses the name Muhammad Aziz, a tremendous brother, helper, very good friend of, was very close to Brother Captain Yusuf Shah, a tremendous brother. But Brother Lieutenant Norton or Muhammad Aziz, we mentioned Lieutenant Edward 15X. They were just tremendous soldiers, and we learned a lot from them. But we learned from the ministers as well. Minister George 7X, we had Minister Charles 66X, we had Minister Alton 2X, another brother who wound up married.
Is Minister Alton still living? We're remembering Savior's Day, and we want to know the history. See, some of us really want to dismiss the history of our community. We want to dismiss the nation. There wouldn't be no Muslims today if it were not for those pioneers. The American people, they look back to George Washington. They look at Thomas Jefferson. They look at Tom Paine. And some of us seem to be just bored. We don't want to hear about these people. Tell us also about Investigator Rupert.
All right. Investigator Rupert, I didn't know him that well. I knew his sons. One of his sons is an imam today, Dwayne.
He's my assistant, my top assistant, Brother Imam Askia Muhammad. Yes, sir.
Askia Muhammad. He had the Brother Gregory in him. They're great brothers, tremendous brothers. I know they did a trip with my blood brother over to Turkey with Imam Yusuf Ramadan and them all. They traveled. Just good. I didn't know much about it.
Which one is your blood brother?
Abdullah Shamsuddin.
Okay. Oh, wow, okay.
Right, brother, good brother, you know, he was into martial arts and others and traveled all over the world, been to Mecca at least 5 times, and just a tremendous brother in that respect. But, yes, as I said, I didn't have much dealings with the investigator. I knew him, but didn't know him. As I said, I was a young teenager at that time. Didn't have much except give the greetings. I knew Minister Wayne 3X Grice. I would go. He had a home in Flushing. My father would go and cut his hair. I knew Brother, we mentioned Minister Wayne 3X. Who else? Minister Larry was in Corona for a while. Minister Henry X Jordan, who his brother was Minister James 7X. They call him Najee today.
Is Minister James 7X still living?
Yes, sir. Yes, he is. He just did a book. He released a book last year, I believe. And I interviewed him.
And Minister Alton, he passed, right?
Minister who?
Alton.
Alton 2X?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I know he has a cousin who was Minister Henry 24X, Usman.
Yes, and I saw him recently at Brother Charles Akbar, the investigator Charles Janaza, yes.
Well, I didn't know if Minister Alton, I didn't know he had passed. But
I don't know whether this is true or not. But, you know, I'm just to hear about these people. And see, this is what we should do for Savior's Day. I hope next year we'll have a big Savior's Day in New York. that we can reminisce and know about these people, because those are the people that God tells us in the Quran that we are obligated to rever the womb that bore us. And we came out of the womb, the captain, great Captain Yusuf Shah. I'm not minimizing the ministers, but really, in truth, in the nation, we had more contact with the officers than we did with the ministers. The ministers taught, but I had more contact with Captain Yusuf Shah, which didn't have a lot of contact with him because he was the captain. But you had lieutenants and squad leaders and team people that we went out with. Your brother said you were paper partners. I mean, it seems to me, I don't seem to be, I know this to be a fact, and I'm not going to even hedge this one, that there's been no institution in America that has bonded us together as a people more so than the work that was done on the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Would you agree with that, Brother Lance?
I totally agree with you, Brother Imam. Totally agree.
I mean, we have been bonded for life. I look at Brother Ishmael Shamsuddin and Brother used to be Secretary Clarence, and they are still bonded. You can't see Ishmael. Ishmael is closer, walked more with Brother Clarence, who is now, I believe, I forget his name, but he's closer to him and his brother Albert. Albert Shamsuddin, that the public need to know, is the father, the grandfather of Swiss Beats and the grandfather-in-law of Alicia Keys. These are the kind of historic figures that we have in number seven. I'm telling you, I'm going to give a shout-out to number seven because it was where my birth. I mean, I was in Temple number 23. I've been in several other cities. But I must tell you, I give a shout-out to the great work of the Captain Yusuf Shah. And we, the men of number seven, we have to have a reunion this spring to come together, to reminisce, and to move forward. We don't want just pageantry and production. We don't want just theater. We want action. We want to have a reclamation committee to go back and find our brothers who have fallen on hard times because they may be hopeless. But we want them to know about just remembering the great work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's enough to resurrect us and get us up, to stand us up, and put us back solidly on the square of social building. You can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. Brother Lance, it's your, whatever you want to talk about.
As you were speaking, brother, I was thinking of Brother Walter 5X, who was the jeweler.
And was the only one licensed to perform marriages.
That's right. Well, Brother Ramza, when my uncle passed a few months ago, but my uncle, who was formerly George Forex, was in the Veterans Hospital in St. Albans on 179th and Linden Boulevard. And I would visit Brother Mahmoud Ramza there as well. And Brother suffers from, I don't know if it's dementia or if it's from Alzheimer's, but there on certain days we would have lively conversations. Other days he doesn't know who you are. And I just think it's sad because my uncle, who gave many years to the Nation of Islam, and Brother Ramza, you know, that those few years that they put in the Korean conflict, that they're being aided and taken care of. But our nation, that's one of the shames of the Nation of Islam. I think we don't look out for our elderly, and we have to do a better job. If you want respect, you have to do a better job and set up something to take care of them. And as I said, we should have a national cemetery or something to set up so when we go visit one, we can visit them all and remember them all.
And Brother Lance, will you join me and us? Let us do that. Let's work this year to have that kind of – we should be able to set up some type of institution wherein they should be taken care of. And I think about that. You know, Brother, you remember Brother Lenny. I think he's Lenny 17X. He's the first – one of the first police officers to come in the nation in Brooklyn, 7C, he was one of the police officers that Ahmad Muhammad permitted to come in. At one time, police officers couldn't come into the nation. Need to know that, too.
Right.
And I think he's in Brooklyn. But we have so many. You know,
right.
At least I'm happy to know that Louis Ali is being taken care of. used to be Lieutenant Lewis.
Right, and uses the name Khalid Ali.
Yeah,
now.
Khalid, yes, yes.
Right, a tremendous brother. Great, he was the dean of the boys. He was the one that was tied up with that, you know, disturbance in 1972.
Yes, sir,
Tremendous brother, and who needs to be honored and respected while he's still among the living. But the police officer you mentioned is brother Hamza Al-Hafiz.
Yeah, Hamza Al-Hafiz. That's right.
Yes,
yes sir. Still going strong. I spoke with him a few weeks ago. He sends the greetings and happy Savior's Day to you all. See, you know, dear people, some of you all have not gotten the holy. You have followed the Quran. You follow Imam W.D. Muhammad. But some of you are so holy that you can't look back and remember and respect where you came from. You know, that's a shame.
We
you know, this year, Brother Lance, I hope you'll be with us every year. We have an African-American Family Day at the Wheatway Park in Newark, New Jersey. And we have about 10,000 people that come there, and we feed them, have a night that's headed up by Brother Adib Shaka. And I hope we can have a tent just for our pioneers. You know, we can have a tent for them to come in and be honored, be put in a honored chair like the Africans do, the high chair.
Yes, sir.
And bring some of them out of the hospital that, you know, can come out, nursing homes. Let us all come together. Because Allah, I don't believe Allah God is going to reward us until we do something for our elders and our pioneers. We have a caller from Arkansas, I believe. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Religion Means Alive.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum, both of you brothers.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Brother Imam Alfred, I just love Brother Lance Shabazz. I have always, when I stumbled up on his television show, and I got it on YouTube. I said, who is this brother? And I got addicted to the show, and then it was off before I knew it, and I cried because he was bringing all those old pioneers and everybody that I did, and some I knew, some I didn't, and he was connecting and putting that history together. He's done a masterful job. He's sitting on a gold mine, and Allah has truly blessed you, Brother Lance Shabazz. And I hope that with what you have, you can connect, and we do something with what you did, because that was so important, and you did a masterful job. I wish you hadn't stopped, but you knew your situation better. And I like what Imam Alfred is trying to do. It looks like what he's doing, it looks like what I called and told him today. That was an elderly brother in Newark, New Jersey, or Jersey City. It's been 35, 37 years. And I'm hoping, I can't remember his name, but he approached me one of the times that I was in one of, because I was all over the place. I spoke in Jersey City, Newark, New Jersey, Atlantic City. I met practically everybody that I was supposed to meet. But this brother was elderly and came up to me and asked me, could he have a word with me? And he said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had come to his home, spent the night there in the 50s, and said that the Nation of Islam would go down and the light would be very, very dim, but it would eventually grow, get back together, grow up, and be the greatest light on earth. He said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spent the night with him, and when he started telling him that it was after dinner, and the wife had cleared the table, and when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him that, he said he began to cry. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, why are you crying? Don't cry. It has to happen. But it will get back up, and nobody and nothing can put that light out. And that's what I wanted to share, and especially with the brothers over there in Newark, New Jersey, and where Brother Lieutenant Clarence, who became Imam Hussein Shabazz, because he was the one that I connected with in San Francisco, and I just loved him. He took me to the plane, put me on the plane, and put me in New York. And when he came back to New York, he told Captain Joseph at the time, take me to Sister Director's office. I want to talk to that sister. So I loved all the people you've mentioned, and I couldn't keep Yusuf Shah out of the office. Every day he would meet with me and sometimes take me to dinner. I knew Brother Richard Adex. He was the one, Lieutenant Richard Adex. He took me, picked me up in the mornings and took me home. So all of these people you're talking about, I was blessed to know them. And I really want to tell you about the Scientology. It was Dr. Ali and I who came to New York and brought Scientology. And I just told Dr. Naeem Akbar the other day that it was his speech at what is now Mosque Maryam that made me pull back from what Dr. Ali was about to do. And he said, I didn't know that. I said, yes, you stood up and you spoke against Scientology that Sunday. And Imam got up and said, listen to Dr. Akbar, and I want you to know that all in the fig tree died, but all in the olive tree lived. He was saying to us that it would be Islam that would be the light of the world, and that all of that other stuff, and now we are watching what's happening at the Vatican. I'm really believing they're going to throw in a black pope because they need to. And one day I want to talk, if I ever get there, I want to give a little history and tell you what I learned and what Imam sort of directed me to do and read and study so that you'll know that we're all right. We're going to be all right. And Brother Lance Shabazz, I absolutely admire you and respect you and love you.
Thank you so much, sister. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. All praises due to Allah.
Yes, sir, because you did a wonderful job. You were a young boy when I was there, and you don't remember me, and I certainly don't remember you. But I do remember when I listened to you about how you love the Nation of Islam. And one day I think I cried on the phone because you began to sing that little song that the elementary boys would say when I first became an instructor at the Muhammad University in San Francisco. And you had remembered the song. And I got off the phone and just cried because when I first heard that song by the young kindergarten or first graders, Muhammad Got the Devil on the Run, I loved it. And it made me cry. And then you sang it again. I thank you.
Could you
so
sing
much.
That for us again? Run, Devil, Run.
Well,
yes,
that
sir.
Was, I didn't know the title, yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
I think
brother,
it's
easy. I certainly thank you for that. I certainly thank you for that. And I appreciate you. You've given me such an inspiration speaking with you over the years. And
yes, sir.
I shared with you, I'll share with the audience the reason I brought my program to a halt was because I didn't want to add to the confusion, and I saw a lot of confusion out there, and I said, you know what, I didn't get involved with this to cause confusion. I wanted to basically celebrate our history. I wanted to, you know, inspire, enlighten, and to encourage people to and gear them toward Islam. But
you did
many,
a wonderful job. You really did.
To Allah. But it became too many factions out there, people pulling in this direction. And I didn't sign up for that. And then when I felt the betrayal of someone, I said, you know, I don't need this aggravation. And I decided to just basically shut down and move on. And
I think we need what you have, and you have a gold mine. We've told you. I'm not the only one that you're sitting
on. I was looking forward to Brother Nathaniel Shabazz, who is the son of Brother former Minister James Shabazz from Newark. Family was going to grant me the interview, and there were other interviews I was working on, and I really enjoyed doing it and learning the history, but again, I just abruptly said, you know, I don't need this right now, and I just shut down, and, you know, Allah has been blessing me to move in other areas right now, but I do enjoy the history. I have a wealth, by Allah's grace, I have a wealth of material that one day, you know, it'll
manifest. You have a gold mine. And I'm so glad Allah inspired you to do that because it certainly is needed. And the brother that Imam Alfred had on the show yesterday, that brother, the words he spoke and how he defined and explained why he did it, you know, we got all the people we need. It's just a coming together. And I don't know when it's going to happen. You know, I'm just listening to you about how we helped. I know when I came in, I've been in now almost 47 years, almost 50 years. And the people in my little town tell me, you know, why are you still with those people? You know, they're not helping you. You're down and out and whatever, whatever. But, you know, Allah is God. Whatever he wants to happen to me, I'm fine. And I've never been so happy in my life. And I had a good life. I'm not one of those that came in whining and crying and praying. I had a good life. You know, I walked out of UC Berkeley, Harvard West, didn't flunk out, walked out. And then I ended up making $100,000 a year and still decided to walk away from that. Because I didn't want to break any principles that I was taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad And I had a good life. I mean, I was raised in a disciplined life. I was born and raised Catholic, came up in Catholic schools, went to the good colleges, the best colleges. My point is that I saw that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was doing the job. None of these people that I was hanging around or involved with, the bougie crowd or whatever they want to call it, I didn't see them doing anything. And that's what I told them. You know, all of you PhDs and all, you're not doing anything. What have you done? All of your Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Catholic churches, what have you done? You didn't do what this man did with nickels and dimes. I know
right.
That was divine. So I've been here, and I'm not going anywhere. And if Allah calls me tonight or tomorrow, I'm ready. I feel very good about what I went through and what we're going through. But we're going to be all right. You know, I don't feel any despair at all. But I'm so glad you came on the show. And, you know, Imam Afri just asked you to sing that song.
I'm not going to sing the song, but thank you so much. We had a little chuckle with that back then. I don't want to rekindle that.
I know.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. And Brother Imam Afri, you keep on, just keep on.
Thank you so much, sister. Thank you for the connections you're making. Those of you who know Islamic studies need to know that the Kaaba means connections, and we have to make a connection. We have to make a connection to the Nation of Islam, to our people.
That's
and
right.
We have to make a connection to the present, to the past, and to the future.
That's right.
And we have to be able to recognize forces among us that have done good. And we celebrate those forces among us, the great men and women. And I want to ask Brother Lance if he would share with us, as a historian of his community, tell us about some of the outstanding sisters in the Nation of Islam that you would like to talk about. Starting, of course, we know Sister Clara Muhammad, but just as a historian, some of those persons.
All right. Praise be to Allah, brother. Now, that's a very difficult question for me, believe it or not, because I hung around brothers. I didn't really hang around the sisters, but we had the great, you know, Sister Amina Rasul was the captain, MGT captain in New York City. We had Lieutenant Barbara Constant 11X. I mean, there was different sisters, but I don't have any really personal stories except that they were beautiful sisters who did their job on the MGT side. That's all I could tell you because, as I said, I grew up around brothers. I stayed mostly around the brothers. I have eight brothers, and I pretty much was close to the brother side. I always, when I was doing my program, wanted sisters to come on and represent the sisters, but I seem to have more of the brother side where it came with the guests.
I think it was a terrible misunderstanding. I think when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the black man is God, y'all forgot man only meant mine, but he meant man and woman. You see, and that was the big issue. In fact, Yusuf Shah, I guess he was by that time Imam Yusuf Shah, his son called me. I don't know if I shared that with you, Brother Lance. He called me one day. I think his daddy made him call me. And he said, Sister, I owe you an apology. Now, this is Brother Yusuf Shah's oldest son who had gone to college. And he said, I owe you an apology. I said, how? What is it? For what? And he said, you know, when you and Dr. Ali came, I was very upset. He said, and I wasn't used to women in positions of leadership and instructions. And it looked like you two were taking over. He said, when I got to college, I had more women instructors than men. And that's when I realized that I had the wrong outlook about things. And he said, I think that I treated you a little snotty. I said, well, really, I don't even remember. I do recall that everybody was in shock. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad died. I was told early on he was dying. Many people didn't know it. And I think when we got there, Imam took over in 75, February 26, 75, and he had us there in April. And it was only 2 months, you know, before, after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad died, and you were still in shock. People were still mad and not understanding, and he removed Minister Farrakhan, he moved Director Clark, so much it blew everybody's mind. So the hate that was directed at us, I understood it. And because I had come through the ranks, I had been lieutenant, I had been captain, I had been instructor, and I had also been directress of two or three schools because I kept running for my life. That's why it happened. I was always having to run and get out of somewhere and for my life. And I told that to the Elijah Muhammad Jr. and E2, and I told it to Captain Joseph, and he was aware of one situation. So what I'm, and even John Muhammad, I have to give him credit. He saved my life. Because he was the one who told me, you need to get out of there because he's, that brother's known for, you know, killing women. I said, you got to be kidding me. So I had to run for my life, and I'm still running for my life in a way. My point is that you had a misunderstood about the woman. And Brother Lance, I'm not going to share it, but you know, you told me, you know how you made your big mistake, and you did it so well, and at least you admitted it. You know, some of you had gotten so crazy and fanatical about being the God, you wouldn't even admit when you were wrong. But one of the things that I did notice about the Muslim men, and I used to tell that to my Christian friends, when the Muslim brothers were wrong, they immediately said, I'm wrong. They knew that they were against the teachings or the Holy Quran, and they would say that. But the Christians would always make excuse, well, you know, the flesh is weak. But we didn't do that in Al-Islam. So I'm very proud of our men. And we were proud of our men. We sat back on the men who had about a third grade education and gave us instructions. And I willingly bowed, and knowing that they were, if we had continued under them, we would have been insane. But it was all right. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was giving them their first validation, and we women understood it. But I mean, Imam came on the scene, and he knew it was time to stop that. You really did not and could not do anything without that sister, without the woman. I'm not putting you down, but you come through the woman. She's your first teacher. And it was time to start giving her due. And we were going to take our due.
Praise is due to Allah.
And many of you still have that problem. You really haven't learned how, and I mean down south, I'm from the south, the men always knew. In fact, it's in the Bible that it's the woman's law. And the men came home, and my father and mother stayed together forever. And I didn't come up with anybody. I don't know many people, but one person in our growing up days that didn't have a father. Everybody had a father when I grew up. And the man was the one that came home and executed the law if the child was wrong. And he didn't get interfered. She ran the house. He did his duty, and there was no problem. He respected my mother, you know. And he was college educated, and Mama had a sixth grade education. But he respected her. You know, so I didn't see all that foolishness, to tell you the truth, until I came to the Nation of Islam.
Well, sister, part of the things that I witnessed was brothers was always getting in trouble over some sister and was being brought up on charges. That won't be me.
Okay, I'll leave that to work for them.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. See, that part I didn't know.
Oh, they don't talk.
But when you say you got in trouble, were they in trouble because they were weak or something, or that you?
Whatever, it was involving a sister, and I had said that wouldn't be me. And so the best way, they say, if you don't want to get wet, don't get in the water. So
I got you. Mm-hmm. I see now. Okay. Well, I don't remember having that much even in California, in Oakland, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Louisville, Kentucky, or Little Rock. I don't. Maybe they had gotten so corrupt they didn't bring anybody up. You know, I don't remember that. But when I was captain, I learned so much. The brothers came to me more than the sisters, and they began to tell me things that I didn't even know about the women in the world, to tell you the truth. So I learned a lot. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad exposed, and that's what I need to do, write my doctoral thesis on that, because that was, I learned the world when I came to the Nation of Islam.
Yes. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. All praises I do to Allah. And you're going to have to get over this, I'm the God and I'm the boss, and know that you can, she's to be your help you meet the Lord, and help you meet your God. She doesn't have to take these back seats. You got a problem. And that's what most women that I'm talking to about right now, they just can't put up with it.
Right. Well, I agree with you on that, sister. I totally agree with you.
And some of us were born free, so I never did put up with it. Mm-mm, never did.
All praises due to Allah.
Because I saw the beauty that our men, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought out the best in our men. But many of them, and you know, used to ministers, Imam Yusuf Shah and I used to talk about it all the time. And everybody else that came to me. You know, Brother Lieutenant Richard and I talked about it, going back and forth. Brother Lieutenant Clarence had a very good understanding. And I understood that because he was so good and decent to his wife. He really treated her so tenderly. That hurt me when they broke up. And he was a good brother. But we're all here on a journey, and we're going through a trial. And some of us, we're going to make it. We're going to be all right. But I hope the two of you connect, you and Imam Alfred, and we can blend this thing.
Well,
and
thank you, Mother, as the mother of this program. We sure appreciate you, and you have facilitated us meeting some wonderful people. We need more mothers in this community, sisters that will mother our community. We'll make sure that the boys don't fight, come in after dark, you know, and all of these things that you're doing, and we appreciate you so much. And I would never have met, Brother Lance and I probably know each other, but you facilitated it. I've often wanted to meet Brother Lance Shabazz and never had the opportunity. But through your good office, we appreciate your bringing us together. Now, you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. And I'm also going to take a commercial time. We need your donations. We appreciate your donations. We have received your donations, and we hope to continue to receive them. And they can be sent to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. And we will get them, and we'll use them for the purpose stated to build this program so we can eventually be on mainstream radio. And this is the healing. And maybe perhaps we're talking about Brother Minister Woodrow from Atlantic City. I think that's who you're talking about, Sister Umkair. It might be Brother Woodrow because he was a historian. He had many of the Amulet Muhammad's tapes. I think he's gone. I think he's no longer living. I don't know whether
this brother was from Newark, New Jersey. The brother I met in Atlantic City, his last name was Shabazz also. I think he ran for office, but no, I know.
I'm not talking about Kaleem Shabazz. I'm talking about Brother Woodrow. Brother
Woodrow
was
from Newark, New Jersey. He was not from Atlantic City, though.
Yes, ma'am. Maybe, I know, I don't know who you're particularly referencing, but I will make offline, I will give you the contact so you can reach that person. Brother Lance, you're aware of Brother Woodrow, aren't you?
Yes, Brother Woodrow and I shared a friendship for many years. Brother Woodrow, ex-love, he lived in Atlantic City, and he had a farm in Misfit, New Jersey. I would go down to the farm and visit with him, his adopted son, Kenneth, his daughter. He would show me films at his home, took me in his garage, showed me so many tapes. A wonderful brother. Brother Minister Woodrow, I did attend his janazah, his funeral, and I loved the brother, loved him tremendously. Used to send up some food to the house that he grew on his farm, and just a wonderful minister and brother, Minister Woodrow. He is the original archivist of the nation. So much footage. If you wanted footage of Malcolm X that you saw in Make It Plain, that was Minister Woodrow's film. You know, he worked with Orlando Blackman and others who did some production. That was his footage. And a true historian of the Nation of Islam. You see him when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made his last appearance in Harlem at the 369th Street Armory on June the 28th of 1964. Minister Woodrow, before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speak, he does a test. And just a tremendous brother. I loved him, and I truly miss him.
I don't think I met him, but I wish I had met him. No, I don't think this brother's name was Brother Woodrow, because I met him right there in Newark, New Jersey. But it's okay. Brother Lance, I wanted to introduce you to Imam Musa, who was the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. I wanted him to be on your show, but you closed it down before then. But Imam Alfred got him. I gave him to Imam Alfred. And and as he write, I was hooking him up with everybody. Naeem Akbar would be a good brother. He's ready right now to get started, and he can get us on the economic path. He is good. I mean, he had done a lot of things in the nation for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, and then we got Naeem Akbar. I think we got everybody, the core people that you're going to need, Imam Alfred, because Naeem Akbar is a psychologist. What's his name that you had on that I told you he was over there at the superintendent of the school?
Nadar Ali,
and I know him well. He was my first director. He is good. I mean, you know, he could set this thing on emotion, where we need to go, rather. In motion, because he got that mind for productivity. So you got, I mean, you're right. I got you in touch with the people that was going to, you know, and I know you've already gathered up the people. So you just about got the core people that, in order to get this thing moving. I'm heard over Minister Farrakhan. When he came to town, I went up to him, and he kind of slighted me, and he knew he had kept me up a many night talking to me over there in that home that Malcolm X used to live in. And I don't know what happened to Minister Farrakhan, because I liked Farrakhan very much. I didn't want to follow him, but he really slighted me. I didn't get a chance to tell you, Brother Lance, when he came here to Pine Bluff. I don't care, because I was not a follower. But he came here and started asking questions. He needed to have asked me. I'm born and raised here. I could have told him everything and introduced him to all the people that he needed to get. I heard him on his show yesterday saying he's going to come to Arkansas first to buy the land. And, you know, I know the very man that he went to, Mr. Carver. I know him well. And, you know, I was just so disappointed with Mr. Farrakhan acting crazy. It was only because I wrote him that letter and told him that Scientology was the wrong way. Maybe that's why he's angry with me. Maybe they got him trapped. I don't know.
If Minister Farrakhan, when he was in his 50s, if he didn't get this economic program rolling, I doubt if in his 80s he's going to be successful. I pray that he is, but I doubt it.
That's a good point. Well, he claims he's getting ready to buy up the land, and he's getting ready to, you know, I don't know.
I was a part of his community, and we started with the fish program. There was the power products. There was the water. There was the calling cards, you know, the patrons ads, and it was just so one program after another. And even the restaurant was, you know, you can pretty much not keep open. And I interviewed Minister Louis 6X. I don't know if you remember him, but he was the minister in Maryland, Baltimore, but he also was...
Yes, sir. The minister number six. Share with us what he had to say about that.
He just said that Minister Farrakhan was a very studious. He studies a lot. He's very good at that, but he didn't have any economic sense. He said no business sense at all. And that's coming from Brother Louis 6X, Minister Louis 6X, who was a businessman.
Minister Lewis and his brother, I believe he was investigator, LaRue.
LaRue. Right,
they both were business people.
Right.
Yes.
That's
the problem. I've noticed, and I want you to make a comment on this, Brother Lance. I had noticed that Minister Farrakhan and many of the ministers had little interest in business activity. You know, it was Minister Farrakhan, you know, I remember when we did the Black Family Day, the first one, not even before that, the one we did at the Armory, and we would have 30,000 people there, $25 a clip. And generally it was the captain that made sure that we opened up businesses. But Mr. Farrakhan, and I'm not wanting to hop on him, happy Savior's Day to all, has been a person that's basically is the greatest pageantry person. He took that honestly from Marcus Garvey. Very good at that kind of thing. But what we now need is programs. Let's talk now, Brother Lance, about what are some of the things we need as a people?
Well, again,
and what do you see as the impediments to us coming back to really have a Savior's life for our people?
Well, Brother, thank you. I think, as you say the word Savior's Day, we have to learn to save ourselves. We are so busy looking for others to lead us, and that's why we go down wrong paths. We have to, first of all, save ourselves, save our community, save, you know, one another, save our cash. All of that entitles Savior's Day, soldiers on call. All of that is what we need. We have to have a program for the children, a concrete program. As long as you're watching somebody else work, you're not doing anything yourself. You can sit down and listen to four-hour speeches, but it makes you feel good. But you get up, you didn't accomplish anything, but you was entertained for 4 hours. to get you a bean pie, get you a dinner, sit up in a corner and laugh and say, praise be to Allah, happy Savior's Day. But nothing is being accomplished. No, you have to make a commitment and make a demand, set down a real program, and then have follow-up. As you said, Minister Farrakhan is interested in more of the pageantry, to use your words. He's more interested in that, and he's successful at that for him as an individual. But the body is suffering, you know, and we are really a dead people. We're really a dead people, and we need a different type of medicine than just someone just piping some sweet songs to us or some sweet words to us. Everybody that the minister, it seems that the minister bring up in front of us, they have, you know, you have to question some of their characteristics. And I don't want to name call Bishop Long and a whole long laundry list of people, but we have to question some of the people that
did he have. Did he have Bishop Long there?
No, he didn't have him there, but that's one of his friends. You know, he has
Wow, he just said birds of a, well, let me not talk.
Well, like I said, whether it's Dad James Bevels or whoever it was that he always kept around him, you know, we know that in order for us to be successful, we have to look inward to one another. We made the FOI exclusive. We said it was a name, the military name given to the men who trained in North America. We made it exclusive. But the FOI, you know, they had a show called Jumping the Shark. When Flavor Flav and the Public Enemy wore the FOI uniforms to a Grammy in the 80s, the Nation of Islam should have shot that down, should have shot it down right then, because you saw Flavor Flav go on and mess with Sylvester Stallone's wife. And, you know, to me, it made a mockery of us. We have to demand things. We shouldn't be sitting down with no Ja Rule and 50 Cent and all of these rappers. No, Snoop Dogg should not be coming to no Savior's Day with the way he is. We have to make them where they come around us. They reflect more of us than we reflect them.
Well, Brother Lance, you remember that when we brought Lost Found to the temple back in the days, early days, Lost Found had to know they had to reform. We were not trying to act like the Lost Found. The Lost Found was trying to act like us.
When Count Basie and others came around the Muslims, they straightened up. You know, they straightened up. And we it just seems today that the Muslims accept anybody. You know, Russell Simmons, you know, with his crazy stuff. You know, the Muslims hold them in high regard. You know, but all these devil lovers, I mean, we need to put a foot down, and we shouldn't be so happy to be in their company. We really
shouldn't be so happy. They should be happy
to be among us, and we should demand something from them.
That's right.
That's my personal take. In order to correct this thing, we have to close ranks and look at what's really among us and just build right from among us. When we start having somebody come in and they start telling you we're going to have 9 ministries, we're going to have do all of that is flim-flam stuff. We don't need all that. We just need to put it down. See, we say, have not you heard your word is bond and bond is life and all that. The white man believes that, but he called it a contract. We need to put our name down and live by the law, and
that's
I think
right.
We'll be more successful. I really believe that. I mean, as long as we just stand up and say, I pledge, I do this. You know, a lot of us, we don't know half these people, if they're agents, if they're just provocateurs, if they're coming in there with whatever agenda they're coming in. But the people are confused. I can almost assure you, not only are the people who are with Minister Farrakhan confused, but those who follow the direction of Imam W.D. Muhammad, they're confused. They're confused all over. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, confusion, confusion, confusion of people.
That's right.
We're all confused. And the only thing we can galvanize us is the principle of truth. Tell the truth, as I started out saying, and shame the devil.
But
that's
may
right.
I say this? Brother Captain Yusuf Shah told me one day that they paid Minister Farrakhan's salary because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not want him to handle the money. These words came to me from Captain Yusuf Shah, that he was not able to handle money, that the Temple Number 7 paid his salary and do not let him handle any of the money when he took over. And that's what Yusuf Shah told me.
Well, let me add to that. Minister Farrakhan said that himself one Friday at 116th Street, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him to just teach, don't get into none of the economics of the mosque. However, the minister went on to say that there was a problem with the Muhammad speech money, and that the messenger gave him a check for $50,000, and he took $19,000 of it to catch up on a debt that the mosque had. That was his spin on it. So he did mention that the messenger told him not to get involved with that, let the businessmen handle the business, for him just to teach.
That's right. That's what Yusuf Shah told me. He said the messenger told him himself, do not let him touch the monies. some. I don't know why he told me so much. That's what I was telling him, Imam Afrin. But everybody came in there reporting. I don't know what that was about.
Well, Islam, again, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our brother told me in Newark that Newark was the only mosque on the East Coast that used to pay for their fish straight up. New York and others had it on consignment, and they would sometimes try to get Newark to get the fish for them because they had such bad credit. I don't know. You know, I was told this by an official out of the number 25.
Well, I also can add, too, that Nader Ali said on the program, we had him on, and he said that they had given out fish on consignment and some of the Muhammad imports on consignment. And the Abulaj Muhammad told him, go and get my money.
Right.
One of the reasons we had gotten in the hole in the national headquarters because people didn't pay their bills. Temples, that is. Not individuals. See, we had leaders who were not interested. And I'm not here, again, to bash anybody. But, you know, well, I'm going to stay away from this. I had another question, but I'll stay away from it. Just tell us some of the things. Brother Lance, I want you to focus. Well, I shouldn't tell you to focus, but I'd like to ask you, how do you see us coming back together as a group who followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? We've had different factions. How can we come back together?
Well, brother, that's a very sensitive question, and I don't know if I have the complete answer, but I'll say this much. It may never occur. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if for all intents and purposes, the Nation of Islam may have died with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, and those who took the leadership after him have did such disrepair that I don't know if it could ever come back together. All we could do as individuals is to be a good father, be a good mother, to be a good example, be a good Muslim, and hopefully that, you know, down the road a couple of us will join together. But it's hard for me to trust individuals. I have a trust issue with some Muslims because when you learn of some of the history, you know, how many programs we said we were going to do together that people, you know, they fall out or they come up and they get slick. We start organizations and you contribute thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars to it, and then down the road they change direction up the road. And, you know, so it's very hard for me to believe that it could occur with this generation. That's why I know when you said you'd rather stay away from certain things, I still say truth is the best medicine. When you put all the cards on the table and everybody
That's right.
can see what it is, then maybe we could start to trust each other. But if you got something, an alternative motive behind your back, and I got an alternative motive behind my back, you know, it's very hard to come together. Muslims, we all believe that Allah appeared in the person of Master Faraj Muhammad. There are Muslims today who don't believe that. There are some who believe Muhammad Abdullah was Master Faraj Muhammad. There are others who believe other things. So how can we come together if right there in the beginning, when it was Allah who appeared in the person of Master Faraj Muhammad, we have a discrepancy even on that, but we are to join together? It's crazy. I think we had one leader, one teacher, one guide, and that was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with one mission. But today, the mission has expanded. You got your mosque cares. You got your Nation of Islam. You got your Lost Foundation of Islam. You got the New World of Islam. You got other, what's Royal Muhammad's movement? But there's different movements, United Nation of Islam. There are other movements now that are taking you down different paths. And everybody want to grab a piece and say that they have the true Islam. But I said years ago that the best religion is the one with the best results. If you have the best results, then maybe that works best for you. And I, as I said, though it's a nice thinking to want to get everybody to come together, but I personally don't know if it will ever occur. And as I said, all I could do is try to be a good brother, a good friend to Muslims, and that's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to join a whole bunch of movements because I don't know where everybody's going.
Brother Lance, I certainly appreciate your honesty and sincerity, and that's what I want to see. I'm not here to sell people on anything, and that's what Religion Means Alive is about. You know, I think we have done enough selling. You know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. If your brother tells me he has a bean pie, I don't want to hear a conversation about a bean pie. I want a slice of bean pie. I don't want to hear a conversation about how the best soup you can make. I want to taste it. So I think what you're really saying, if I got you right, you are talking about results. You're like what the Abulaj Muhammad said one time in Theology of Time. He was saying that I'm from the show me state, you know, from Missouri. You got to show me. So we got to show and tell and prove by getting one, two, three brothers, sisters together who can be civil. And that's the main reason I wanted to have you on the program. I know our views are not the same, but you know what? I know our spirit is the same. I know our intentions are the same.
That's right. That's right.
And that's the most important thing. It's why intentions and spirit, people are going to differ.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I can never forget what Don Beloved Muhammad said. Let us first be brothers. And the real reason I have so much difficulty with so many people who sit here with Imam Muhammad's community. I knew Imam Muhammad, knew him exceptionally well, very close to him. Don't claim to be his friend, was his follower. And I know of his love for the good things that we did as a nation of Islam. So I'm not here to defend or to put that on trial. What I am here is to be a brother to Brother Lance Shabazz, so I don't even have to think about it. I don't even have to question. I know Brother Lance Shabazz is a sincere, pure brother. And I know you have seen things that's probably difficult to process. You know, we processed in the nation of Islam. We had to process out of Negroism. And we will have to process this. But I think as long as it's good, sincere brothers together, if we just do practical things together, and that's what I was telling former Lieutenant Norton. I said, let's have a reunion of there for our class. Let us just come together. Let my children, my four boys and two grandsons, let us just come together as men who have a connection to the 1930s. And let's just see what we have in common. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad advocated the United Front. Let's find ways that first, we know we first can be tied together by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Right.
Isn't that enough for us at least to sit down and have a bowl of bean soup? You know, I think sometimes we rush to try to put a program together before we put a trust. Now, I'm not going to put a dime with anybody. I don't think anybody will send me anything. But if we're going to do something together, we're going to put it in black and white contracts. We need
a
constitution. We're going to do things. We need constitution. But what I think we need to do, just like in a family, we need to continue to socialize with each other.
And we need to sit down and have family meetings.
And we need to sit down, have family meetings. But I mean, even before we can have a family meeting, if we can't we come together for something other than a funeral or a janazah? That's what Negroes do. All they do is come together, hug each other, kiss each other, and lie to each other that they're going to call each other, never call each other. You know what I mean?
That's
serving the God of death. And I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying, let the dead bury the dead.
That's the thing
that struck me about the Nation of Islam as a young man. You know, we didn't put a lot of emphasis on death. We put emphasis on life.
That's right.
And we have to put that emphasis again on life. Let us come together. Let us come together to do things like at least visit brothers that are in the hospital. I mean nursing home brothers that we know that we all serve with. These are concrete things. Brother, I'd just like you to share. I love your honesty and frankness.
Yes.
We're not here. We're not boys. We're not children. We are men and women. And therefore, we must be honest and frank with you. Not brutally honest. We don't want brutal honesty means you're hurting people. We're not here to hurt anybody. We're here to help each other.
Right.
And I want to say to the lost members of Minister Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, and I say distinction as opposed to the Nation of Islam that I grew up in. But to his Nation of Islam, I send you the best bonds of love and charity. And I give you the 10,000 original salute with the best of the nature and the best of the human life. And so I don't want you to ever feel because I have a disagreement with your leader. Because obviously if I agree with your leader, I would be following him. I was never insincere. If I believed in you, I would follow you. So we know we don't agree, but I do believe that you're sincere. I'm talking to you all in the Nation of Islam and others. And I'm also talking to people in the Imam Muhammad community. Let us respect the goodness and sincerity. And let us respect, I know Imam Muhammad respected people who didn't agree with him. He never tried to force his will on anybody. And why should you? I don't try to force my will on Christians. I don't want them to be with me if they don't believe in it. I was even in the Nation of Islam.
I was always against harassing people to join, to take that letter out. Brother, when you gonna process? I never liked that attitude.
Right. Well.
So, Brother Lance. Yes, sir.
Now, I was just going to add with what you just said about to the community of the Nation of Islam of those who were with Minister Farrakhan. I was a part of that community for over a dozen years, and like you, I was not put out of the Nation of Islam. I left of my own free will, and I left because I didn't see or I wasn't satisfied with the progress. I didn't like the certain moves I did not like, and not that I was just holding on as one. It was said that we just stuck in yesterday. It was not that I was stuck in yesterday, but I wanted to see some progress. And I could at one time had over 5,000 lectures, and I said, I don't need another speech. I wanted to see some work. So I left the movement, but I have some friends or who I consider friends and others who are in that community, and I wish them the best. I do not just openly slander Minister Farrakhan. In my moving on program, I brought up certain things about his domestic life that I was hurt at the time, and I want to apologize for showing those children because they didn't have to be shown. I didn't have to do that, but I was just hurt at the time, and I did do that, and I apologize for that. But I wanted to just show that the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is right and exact, and if we follow individuals, sometimes you don't really see the beauty of yourself when you start connecting and just following someone else, and you deny your own gifts, if that's understood.
Brother Lance, I certainly understand your sentiments. And you know why? You are an archetype of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who feel the same way, that they're just somewhere licking that wound. And for you, those brothers and those sisters and for those families that have been hurt, that have been in pain, we share your sentiment. You see, I'm not bitter about anything I contribute to and didn't take place because it was my fate. But I'm not going to be fooled, but I'm also not going to say that others who have not been hurt. See, I'm not going to tell people to suck it up. No.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, forget that. No, I don't believe that people should be riding around on jet planes wearing $1,000 suits and poor brothers don't have enough money to get on the CTA. I don't believe in that.
Thank
you know
you.
What? I'm glad that those yokes and those burdens were taken off us. You know, when somebody would throw three bundles of papers at your door, for those who don't know, that was 300 papers, and tell you you're going to pay for them and take brothers' manhood away from them. You see, now, this is why I want to say the Savior's Day. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was against that. See, the officials under him might have been different, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not for oppressing the common people. We should know that.
That's
he
right.
told them, stop forcing them papers on people. See, we hadn't thrown people out of the nation for selling papers, not selling papers. We perhaps would have had them all productive. And let me say this, too. We have to understand that people have given their lives. People's children are now in penitentiaries because they neglected their children in the process of building this nation. So I'm here to give a voice to people's pain. I'm not here to overlook their pain. I'm not in a pity party neither. I'm not here to sanction this pity. We want to get up, but let us heal. And Brother Lance, I thank you so much for coming on Savior's Day to tell us that we must be saved. And the only way we can save ourselves is we got to love ourselves. There's a very important saying of Prophet Muhammad who said, he said that none of you will have enter paradise until you have faith. We ain't talking about life after death. We're talking about life here on earth too. And none of you will have faith until you love one another. So if we want to have peace and paradise for our people here on earth while we live and be at peace and in love with people, we want to set examples for our people that are killing each other, let us at least be peaceful and civil. Now, that doesn't mean if you step it on my toe or put your foot on my neck that I'm not to get you off my neck. And it doesn't mean that we should allow people. See, we shouldn't even allow in our neighborhoods for young people to bully each other, and we don't say nothing about it. We have been a group of men and women, particularly men, who have sat back and been sissies and just let anything take place in our community. And we have to stop that by reclaiming our manhood. I want us to work to cut the crime rate in our communities down. That's what I want to hear. I want to see us work to make jobs for our men who want to be head of household. I want to see us at least help our people to get high school diplomas and vocational certificates. Let's be a service community. And I agree with you, Lance. I am not into any more teaching. I've already gotten the teachings. I got two teachers as far as I'm concerned. I've had the first basic training for Nabi Muhammad, advanced infantry training for Imam Muhammad, and it's now time for us to take the hill and take the high post and build community for our people. Let's create some jobs for our people. Let's create some homes for our people. And just work with those that you can work with. Sincere, and we'll come together. See, if we see you working out of that hammer out there in Brentwood, bang, you building something. I'm saying, okay, they're building lands up, they're putting up something. Then I'm going to come and work with you. But you ain't doing nothing. Why should I work with you? Does that make sense, Brother Lance?
Makes a lot of sense, brother. That's right. You want to join someone who's doing something. You don't want to go and just sit on a rock with them and just reminisce. You want to do something with it. You got better things to do than just sit around. Your Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we can't sit down, we can't lay down. Time for us to get up and go to work.
That's right. And if we just start by working together to even have a sick committee, isn't it a shame? All the brothers and sisters we know, the senior citizens, and some brothers will fall on hard time. Isn't that a goddamn shame? Excuse my language. We don't even have a shelter for Muslim brothers. We don't even have an apartment that a brother falls on hard time, he can have a place. And I know that there's at least 1.5 million of us who claim to be African-American Muslims who came through the house of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm ashamed of us, and I'm ashamed of being ashamed, and I'm sick and tired of being ashamed. And Brother Lance, you got the closing statement. I'm sorry for going on. I'm sorry. If you would be so honored to come back again, we're going to talk offline, and we're going to continue this conversation. Brother Lance, close us out.
Well, brother, again, Brother Imam Alfrey, I thank you so much for this Religion Means Alive. I thank you for enjoying Savior's Day, and just thank you. I really do. I wanted to say before we close that we mentioned Brother Hamza Al-Afis. His birthday is in a couple of days, and I want to say happy birthday to him, a tremendous brother who laid the foundation, gave a tribute to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at the Waldorf Astoria, and just did a tremendous work as a black officer in the Nation of Islam. So I do want to say happy birthday to him. Again, I thank you. I thank the audience. We didn't receive
Are they
going to
have a birthday party, any type of birthday celebration for him?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. But I will reach out to him. And again,
if you know of any celebration for him, let us know. And hopefully if this summer or some, we can even have some type of program that can at least have some reunion. We don't have to get a couple of bowls of bean soup and sit
That's
down
right.
And you know, I'm talking about out of that concrete thing, like just visiting each other. I mean, you know, you can't develop a community until you know each other.
That's
what has to happen.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Sister mentioned Dr. Naeem Akbar, community itself, you know. That's right.
Yes, sir. We thank you, honorable, noble listening audience, for listening to another edition of Religion Means Alive. And with Brother Lance Chabon's permission, I want to invite you back again to the show. And we'll talk offline about some of your concerns. We just want to hear from you, brother. We welcome you. Remember, Religion Means Alive is your program. This is not a sectarian broadcast. It's open. In fact, we opened it. If we opened it to African-American Christians, you know we're going to open it to African-American Muslims. I thank you. I love you from the bottom of my heart, dear beloved people. We will see you tomorrow at 6:30, 6 o'clock on Religion Means Alive. And also remember, the 16th of March is a very special day. The 15th of March is the birthday of our dear beloved sister, formerly Sister Belinda, from the bakery, now known as Sister Khalila Ali, the former wife of the heavyweight champion of the world, Muhammad Ali, and still his dear friend.
she will have as her guest, and I will be the co-host, Charlie Wilson, New Edition, Najee, and Babyface. And next Saturday on the program, we will have the sister of James Brown, said loud. Fanny Brown said loud, I'm black and I'm proud. So religion means alive is popping and hopping on the air. See you tomorrow on Religion Means Alive. We're not dead. We're alive and going to be alive forevermore. Thank you and good evening.
Praises due to Allah. You there, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Very beautiful. Sister Khalila, I think it's March 17th is her birthday.
Yes, sir. I believe it's the 16th or it's Friday, but she's going to be on the show that next day.
Okay, very good. Praise be to God.
Thank you, sir.
I hope that I'm off that I could hear it, you know, or I'll download and listen to it later. But,
yes, sir. Thank you so much. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience.
Praises due to Allah. Are we off the air, brother, or are we still on the air?
Yes, we are. We're going off right now.
Okay, I'm sorry.